Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game. Hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year.
Let's go into the film room with Dan Durkin.
I thought this tape was going to be a conversation stimulator, man.
Dan breaks down every Bears game like no other.
I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm going to evaluate myself and see where I was. And then if there's any drops in there, those guys are going to hear it. I'm going to get on them.
Lawrence Holmes with Dan Durkin now on 670 The Score.
Actually, pretty decent film.
Dan Durkin is our film guy. He joins us every Wednesday to break stuff down. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort Casino in Las Vegas has the best and biggest sports book in the world. You should go there and hang out the next time that you're in Vegas. Like I said, Dan is our film guy. We lean on him to break stuff down, tell us the things that are going on in Bears games. He doesn't really want to talk about last week's game, and I can't blame him, especially since there's another game that's coming right up, which really doesn't seem to matter. So I want to open the conversation with you, Dan, and here's the thing. There's plenty of time for us to talk about Matt Nagy and the things that have been limiting factors in his success. What about his boss, Ryan Pace? What are the things that you feel like during his tenure as GM and his connection with Nagy, we've learned about Ryan Pace?
Thanks for the opportunity, Lawrence, number one, and happy pre-Thanksgiving. And, you know, I think that people cannot lose sight of the fact that all roads of this mess point back to Ryan Pace. It's just this team has talent issues and they have coaching issues. And the person who generally manages the decisions that are made about the players on the field and the coaches that are coaching them is Ryan Pace. And so when I go back and I look at the opportunities he has had as a general manager, I'm flummoxed. I want to know what spell he has cast over people to think that he is still doing an adequate job, that he should fall up in the organization. So since he's been around, I've gone through and how many people have been in role as long as Ryan Pace in terms of a general manager, and there are 13 general managers in the league that fall into this category. Ryan shares company with all of them. They have all made the playoffs. All 13 of them have led their teams to the playoffs. Only two of them have not led their teams to a playoff win. Ryan Pace is one of those two. He joins Mike Brown of the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8 of them have won a conference championship. Ryan Pace has not. 1, 2, 3. 8 of them have won a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, 7 of them have won a Super Bowl. Ryan Pace has not. So what are we holding on to in terms of this guy hasn't had enough of an opportunity to get the team in a position to do any of the things that I just talked about? And then couple this on top of it. Ryan came in, and I went back and listened to his opening press conference a couple weeks ago and just laughed. This guy was talking about stacking drafts together and being a draft-driven team, and then you take inventory of all of his, you know, the trade-ups that he's made, and he's squandered draft capital. But there have been six teams that have had the same opportunity as the Bears and Ryan Pace. Four picks, four times they've selected in the top 10 since Ryan Pace started calling the shots in 2015. Those teams are the Jaguars, the 49ers, the Giants, the Jets, the Bears, and the Browns. And when you look at these teams and what they've done with it, Lawrence, would you like to have Jalen Ramsey on your team? Would you like to have Leonard Fournette on your team, or maybe DeForest Buckner or Nick Bosa or Saquon Barkley or Leonard Williams or Jamal Adams or Quinnen Williams or, let's see, Myles Garrett? These are the same opportunities that Pace has had and he's missed. What has his lot been? Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Mitchell Trubisky, and Roquan Smith. One hit out of four. Why do people lose sight of the fact that he is very much at the center of all of this? It's just an open-ended question that I just continually grapple with, and I don't understand why people can't see that.
I find myself in the same place that you are. Those people will talk about, well, what about the hits that he's made in the late rounds of the draft? Your retort would be?
Nick Kwiatkowski plays for another team. Adrian Amos plays for another team. You know, like who else are we talking about here? Bilal Nichols, fringe player. Yeah, you know, like, name it. Jordan Howard, he plays for another team. Like, who are we holding on to here that we're propping up in this high of regard? Larry Borum, yeah, he looks a little promising there. Like, what are we talking about? When you have an opportunity to literally change the trajectory of your franchise by selecting somebody, you have all the time in the world to prepare for this. Think about how few scenarios you need to prepare for when you're drafting in the top three or the top seven. You can really understand how the board breaks. That, to me, is the stuff that's inexcusable. What type of energy and calories and dollars are you and your scouting staff spending to come up with the conclusion that Kevin White is the best player for our team at this point in time? It's that type of stuff that just completely diffuses a team. Hitting late in the draft, that's fine. Now you're talking about the middle to the back of a roster. This team has problems at the top of the roster. You can't lose sight of that. Stars matter in this league. In instances where you can't score in the red zone, that comes down to, we trust our best player here to go up and make a play for us. Who's that dude for the Bears? You're going to tell me you haven't been able to surface that guy in 7 years? I inherently do not understand that mentality at all.
And I know that it's simple math and people might get frustrated with it, but also the idea of hanging on to Jimmy Graham and then losing Kyle Fuller, in part because you're hanging on to Jimmy Graham, who's a player who got, what, 12 snaps in last week's game. It's stuff like that that makes me question if he understands how to put a football team together and what is it that you value.
Correct. And, like, not only that, like, okay, what he's done a lot of this where he picks a position of focus to go after in the off season, and then, you know, like, you got Cole Kmet at the same time. Why are you throwing jump balls for Jesper Horsted in those situations then? You know what I'm saying? It's like you spend $10 million on Jimmy Graham and you spent the number 50 or whatever it was pick on Cole Kmet. Those are the guys you should be using in that instance. And then what you also are signaling to people is you have internally evaluated Kendall Vildor as a viable option for you opposite Jalen Johnson. That's the type of stuff that these pieces connect, and this is how they connect. If this, then that. If we keep Jimmy Graham, the consequence is we get rid of Kyle Fuller. And then what happens to that is Kendall Vildor becomes a starter on our team. What have we seen? You and I talk about it every week. If I was an opposing offensive coordinator, I would throw at that dude literally every time I was calling a drop back pass. It's just the way that it is. It's those types of things that hamstring a defense. You can immediately nullify any rush you are getting up front if you know you can't cover in the background, in the backfield. And if you know you can't cover in one specific part of the defensive backfield, good offensive coordinators are going to go after it. So it's that type of roster mismanagement that has just put this team in this situation over and over and over again.
I agree with you. Dan Durkin joining me here on The Score as we're talking about the Bears and how they find themselves in this position in a big way because of the general manager, even though the focus has been on what's going on with the head coach. I think it's a pretty easy decision for the Bears to go ahead and fire Matt Nagy at the end of this or at I felt like if you wanted to do it Sunday night or Monday, and we'll see if they end up, if the reports are true and they end up doing something on Monday, which would be weird. You should probably just do it on Friday if you want to get rid of Matt Nagy. But I'd love to know the things that when you zoom out on Matt Nagy, the head coach, Where are the failures as you see them?
I just think general situational game planning, Lawrence, has just always been a thing. And I go back to we were at the Biltmore at the owner's meeting. And, you know, we went all at the table, me, Weider, and Brad, and, you know, Kevin Fishbane and others. And we're holding court with Matt. And, you know, he went – we had some football-y conversation, and then it went down to him showing us, like, emojis of him and Andy Reid. And I'm like, I'm sorry to break this up, but can we go back to, like, some clock management? I feel bad asking this, but, like, I went into that because, like, it was even an issue his first year in the league. And so when I think about – as a coach, and I think about coaches that I've been a part of, you have to really kind of simplify it. It's like, how many down and distance situations do you need to prepare your team for? It's about a dozen, you know, first and 10, second and first, 1-6, second and, you know, 7+, all the third down scenarios, you know, 3rd and 1, 1-3, 4-6, 7-10, 10-15, 4th and 1 and 2, you know, 4th and 3, to, you know, like, all, you break it down. It's about 12 different scenarios. So that narrows down, like, how you're using your practice time. And then you think about field position scenarios. Are we backed up in our area? Are we in between the 20s? Are we in the high red zone? Are we in the low red zone? And then you think about the game scenario. Are we tied? Are we behind? Are we ahead? Is it a 2-minute end of half? Is it 2-minute end of game? And then you think about the special situation. Two point situations, 4th down in the red zone, last play of the game from the 30-yard line and in, last play of the game from 50. It's this type of stuff that you need to have, and you need to dedicate practice time to do that so it doesn't look so uncoordinated when the situation actually happens. And it has happened time and time and time again. This, to me, is the one of the bigger things that shows he is in over his head. You need to prepare your teams for these situations, and you need to simplify it for them. Make it easy. All right, we can eliminate this because we're not in this field position. Hey, we can eliminate this because we're winning. We can eliminate these types of things. You know, it's that type of stuff that eases the thinking for your players. And another thing that I want to always, like, you know, kind of to emphasize to people, it doesn't matter what coaches know when plays are being played. It matters what your players know. So what you are imparting to them in those scenarios, you are now reliant on them to actually execute. So the more you can keep them focused on where are we at in the game, where are we at in the scoreboard, where are we at in the field, all of those things make them able to react more and think less on the field. And I just think more often than not, you have seen this team confused when it comes to substitutions. You have seen this team confused when it comes to, do we call a timeout here? See him confused. Do we go for 2 or 1 here? And that, to me, is just it's such an indictment of Matt Nagy.
Yeah, that was really frustrating to watch Sunday, where if you were holding out hope that Matt Nagy was going to mature into, like, a sideline CEO, and that could be his calling card or reason why you would keep him around, I thought the evidence was pretty clear and damning that he is not capable of doing that. And the fact that we're into year 4 is really frustrating that those things continue to happen. And it also allows me to question your staff too, because someone should be able to help with this, and yet no one seems to be in a position to do it. Now, that goes on Matt too. That goes on the people that he hired to be a part of the processing that goes on in real time during a game. There don't seem to be a lot of people that he can consistently count on.
I agree. And you're getting to kind of, like, delegation. That comes down to trust. And that comes down to really having a clear plan of decision making. Like, who is authoritative here? Who is the one that doesn't have to come to me like, hey, coach, I'm thinking about doing this. It's like, do it. You have my trust and you have my buy-in to do that. But your point about being, like, the CEO is so important. And I think it's worth kind of, like, digging into here a little bit. When you're alleviated of one of the larger strains on your time and the processing you need to do during the game to call plays, when that's taken away from you, you now have a lot more time to think about exactly what I was just talking about. Where is my team at? What did we prepare for that's working? What did we not prepare for? Like, hey, we were looking for them to run this personnel grouping a little bit more. This, they're not doing it. How are we going to adjust? It's that type of stuff that you would think that they would be better at, but they're worse and like or the same. And like, it's just not good enough. You think about how poor this team is coming out of the half. It's like, what are you doing at halftime? This team's 0-4 off the bye week. What are you doing to prepare this team? And so it, to me, it's like with more preparation, the team is worse. And that to me just speaks to coaching and a lack of it.
There's a new rule now that allows teams to interview folks for their head coaching jobs in the last couple of weeks of the season. I think the Bears should take advantage of this. The only problem is, to do that, in my world, you also have to fire the general manager because I don't want him interviewing head coaching candidates for the Bears. Do you think that 2 weeks, does it make a difference at all in trying to find who the next head coach would be?
Yeah, I think it's really crucial. And I think that you would miss out on knowing that this fait accompli, whenever it's going to actually happen, as far as Nagy and then hopefully Pace as well. You need to take advantage of all of those little opportunities that the NFL affords you. And so in this particular instance, what you're talking about is take advantage of that extra time that you have to go out there and speak with a Brian Daboll, speak with a Kellen Moore, speak with a Byron Leftwich, speak with an Eric Bieniemy, find out what these guys are all about now, because maybe that's going to help you funnel down your candidate pool a little bit more. Maybe some guy goes up, maybe some guy goes down. So these types of mechanics are going to be much easier if your head coach is out of the way. But that Pace thing that you just talked about is going to be very interesting to see how they handle that particular that decision. And I hope it's not a fall up in the organization scenario.
I want to talk about this in the context of Justin Fields. And you and I are probably in lockstep on development issues with Justin Fields, on how the Bears kind of screwed this up from the beginning. But to give the Bears fan who's listening an idea of where we're coming from, how did they not, in your opinion, what were the missteps that they made going into this season with Andy Dalton versus Justin Fields?
I think the fact that you couldn't curate a small set of plays for him, that you know him being Justin Fields, that would work. And that was so put on evidence when he was thrust into the starting position earlier than they wanted against the Cleveland Browns, where you're running an offense that, you know, a multi-year veteran in the NFL would probably still have a little bit of difficulty with. So again, that comes back to preparation. What are you doing to sit down with him and say, hey, Justin, when we looked at you at Ohio State, we really liked your ability to on max protect, you know, find the deep over, or find that, you know, the Adino route, you know, those types of things. What did you guys call this play? We called it this, coach. Cool. We call it this, and this is the adjustment we have. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to put those little check marks like, he's got this concept down. He's got this concept down. So you don't need 150 plays for him. Maybe it's 40 or 50, and then you work from that, and you build that as the foundation. And then you add in his dynamic athleticism and his ability to say, hey, I didn't like the read, or I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. He can tuck the ball and run. So not having design runs put in there, not booting and understand how much better he does on the move with leveled concepts above him, not going to more max protect, not moving the pocket. It's all of those types of things that you had on tape that Ryan Day showed that he is so effective with that you couldn't have that. It's like if you needed to develop a second offense, so to speak, for him, do it. He's the future of your franchise. His success is far more important than any ordinary season you're going to get out of Andy Dalton. So the fact that they didn't do that is a problem. And then the compounding that is, you know, there's some sort of inevitability when it comes to either the team's not going to perform or the quarterback could get hurt. Give him more reps with the people he should be throwing to at that point in the season. He still doesn't seem to have the timing down with Allen Robinson. He does with Darnell Mooney. He does with Jesper Horsted. They're trying to get that stuff in there. And Jesse James, people like that. You have to give him chances with the people who you hope to be the ones that are actually going to make plays for you. So when I think about it schematically, you did not curate the right set of plays for him, problem number one. And problem number two, you didn't give him enough time to work with the people who you thought were going to be the anchors of your offense.
Dan, as always, I appreciate the time. I like this. I like where you weren't just connected to the film, that you were out here with some thoughts. I enjoy it. And I imagine that
it's always that way. Yeah. Like, you know, I've covered this team for a long time and been a part of it. And I mean, I love the X's and O's, but when you reach these inflection points like this, you have to zoom out. You know, I come back to like Cody Westerlund, like when I first started writing for 670, you know, we reached a point in the season where Cody gave me some good advice. He's like, hey man, I think people are going to be tuned out to what's going on the field. Like their thoughts are in a different place. So you kind of need to move with them. I have a lot of thoughts about how this team has been mismanaged, and I think it's really unfortunate. So I hope, with all of that being said, people have a wonderful Thanksgiving and they can enjoy tomorrow still, despite what's happening with the team they root for.
I hope for you the same thing, sir. We will talk soon. Thanks so much for the segment today.
Be well, Lawrence. Take care.
That is Dan Durkin with a flamethrower today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.